Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What is good, wrestling fans? My name is Junkyard James. This is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. This is the solo Saturday episode, and we got a pretty deep and tough conversation to talk about this on this episode. I'm recording this the morning of Saturday, October the 18th. Tonight, Wrestle Dream live from St. Louis, Missouri, the Shavitz Arena. We will see Samoa Joe take on Hangman Adam Page in the main event there for the AEW Men's World Championship. If you haven't listened to our predictions show for Wrestle Dream that we did on Thursday, be sure to check that out. And yeah, let's get into this episode. But first, those four icons at the top right hand of your screen, I need you to hit that like button for me. Let me know that you like this video, like this content. Leave a comment below, and let me know your thoughts on the topic. Let me know what you want me to talk about in the future on some of these solo shows, et cetera, whatever. Whatever you want to comment, just leave a comment down there. It helps the algorithm and helps the video spread. Share this video organically. Spread the video around to all of your wrestling friends and family. Today's an interesting video to share. It's going to be a little bit of a historical context to a modern problem. And so it'll be good to share this video, or if you listen to the audio version of it, share the audio to your friends and family who like professional wrestling. And then lastly, if you're watching on the YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on your notifications. Again, if you listen to the audio version, subscribe on your podcast apps, if it's Apple Podcasts, if it's Spotify, if it's one of the multitudes of other podcast distribution services, go ahead and subscribe. Get those notifications. That way, when you know, you will know when an episode airs. And then lastly, if you're on the audio format, leave us a 5-star review. Let all the other podcast listeners know that you can get some good content on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, and it'll surely help us out. Another way that you can help us out is by clicking the links in the description box for partners that we use, like WWE Shop. If you're a WWE fan and you want to get the next best merchandise that they have come out with, use our link, help support the podcast that way. Let them know Beyond the Junkyard sent you, and you will help support the podcast. We also are partnered with StubHub. Wrestling's in full season, football's in full season, hockey starting, basketball starting back up. Use that link to get your sporting tickets and even your entertainment tickets. I think StubHub does like concerts and plays and other entertainment things outside of sports. Go ahead and get your tickets through our link on StubHub. They have a 100% fan guarantee. If you're unable to use your ticket or anything that happened there, they will refund you. And they have great customer service down at StubHub. Last but not least, Dubby, our main partner that powers this show. You see the flag in the background. Dubby Energy, use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off of your order at w.gg, and you can save 10%, and you can help support the podcast as well. We got some other links in there as well. There's a Discord link if you want to join the new Rio Wrestling Community Discord page. You are more than free to do that. I want to build a wrestling community on there that can, one, talk about the podcast, but two, talk about wrestling in general. And I think that's about all the housekeeping that we need to do. So let's jump right in on this Saturday show to everybody's favorite part of the week, and that is Junkyard James's monologue. That's right. We keep it real. We keep it raw. We keep it relevant. And we're going to rock the boat a little bit today, especially with today's conversation. We're gonna talk about Andrade's situation and then turn it into a question that I think has had the need to be answered since all the way back in the late 1980s. So I mentioned on the show on Thursday, Andrade's situation was just getting going, and now more information has come out. And I'll give you the gist, because this conversation isn't necessarily solely because of the Andrade situation, but other situations as well. That, because again, I think the wrestling industry has had a fair share of controversy surrounding this conversation for as long as wrestling has been around. And so let's briefly introduce the Andrade situation and then get into the main conversation. So Andrade, he made a debut, a re-debut back in AEW probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. Maybe a week or so before that. It was basically immediately after we were made aware that Andrade was gone from WWE. The next Dynamite, he shows up in AEW attacking Kenny Omega. Well, we haven't seen Andrade since then. And so the question was, what's going on with Andrade? Is there personal issues? Did he get injured? What happened to Andrade? Why haven't we seen him? Well, over that period of time, the dirt sheets and all the wrestling reporters, they said there are people that know what's going on, but they're keeping quiet. They're not letting anybody else really know what's going on. They've been, you know, basically, I guess you could say, sworn to secrecy. And so a report broke basically Thursday, right? You know, that afternoon before the podcast, that basically stated that Andrade may have broke his 90-day contract, non-compete clause with WWE, and that WWE basically wrote a cease and desist letter to AEW, basically saying Andrade cannot be seen on TV during this period of time. Well, what we later come to find out is TKO has redone the contracts for to make it so that if a wrestler gets fired for cause, there is a possibility that a professional wrestler their non-compete clause is not 90 days. Their non-compete clause is one full calendar year. And since then, there's been a lot of proof that proves that that's the case. And the question that arose, at least in my mind, is how is this legal, right? So basically, they're telling Andrade he's not getting a traditional 90-day clause where they pay him for 90 days and then he's free to work. They're saying, we're not going to pay you because you got fired for cause and therefore you're not able to work at all. You're going to be unemployed for a year mandatory. And a lot of people are questioning the legality of this. They're saying Andrade has a really good case if they took it to the court. And this could get messy. And that's about as much as I am aware of the situation. But this situation with Andrade, you know, has forced me to ask the question that I think a lot of wrestlers have been wanting answered, and a lot of fans, you know, in the back of their mind know that this is a lingering question that we may need to completely readdress. And that is the question of unionization and professional wrestling. And so the question that I'm hoping to answer today is does professional wrestling need a union or a performers association or there's like SAG-AFTRA for actors and a bunch of other unions in the entertainment sphere. Do the wrestlers need to create their own union? And then if so, what would the benefit of having a union be for professional wrestlers? And so let's break it down, because, you know, as long as there's been professional wrestling, there's always been a dirty little secret behind the glitz, pyro, and five-star matches. And that secret, it really isn't a secret, but because it's well known, but that secret is that the people that make the business decisions, that make this business what it is, that would be the wrestlers, they basically have zero protection. The people that run these businesses offer no security or guaranteed anything to their performers. And I know the word unionization makes a lot of promoters, you know, tick and twitch, but the truth is the wrestling world has flirted with it time and time again. Every several years, the topic gets popped back up, and then it disappears faster than Carmelo Hayes's push in the main roster. I mean, it disappears very quickly. They always try to shut it down. So let's talk about a brief history of the attempts of unionization in wrestling. See, it started back in the territory days, like I said. You see, wrestlers were seen as carny acts, independent contractors that were just moving from town to town. And that label stuck. Promoters liked it that way because they didn't have to pay benefits. They didn't have to guarantee work. They didn't have to handle medical costs when a guy broke his neck in the ring and for countless other reasons. But there were sparks of resistance between the performers. See, in the late 1980s, Jesse the Body Ventura tried to rally WWF talent to form a union. He saw how Hollywood had the Screen Actors Guild, how athletes in the NFL, NBA, and MLB had players associations. And so why not wrestlers? Why can't they have their form of union? They performed, traveled, and risked their bodies nightly. But when Ventura made his move, someone ratted him out, and the person that it believed to rat him out was reportedly, and again, this is just, you know, innuendo, was Hulk Hogan. When Vince McMahon found out, that was that. Ventura was done. The dream of a union died basically right there. There were whispers in the years after, guys like Raven, Perry Saturn, Canyon, talking about it during the CW, ECW era. Even in TNA, there were murmurs of starting a union. And then most recently, with AEW's rise, the question has been brought back into focus, especially with talent realizing that even with a more wrestler-friendly company, AEW structure still isn't what it should be. And so look around the industry today. Wrestlers are still considered independent contractors, but they work full-time schedules. They can't work anywhere without approval. They can't monetize their own name. They can be released at any time for any reason with no severance benefits or fallback. And I'll throw a caveat there. I think this is more appealing to the WWE side. AEW allows wrestlers to work other independent events. They allow them to monetize trademarks. But even still, they can be released at any time for any reason. And as far as I'm aware, there's no severance benefits or fallback, even in AEW. See, if that sounds familiar, it's because it's the same kind of control any company has over their employees. Except wrestlers don't get the same protections that full-time employees get from their company. If I got fired from my day job, I would get a benefit package from them. If I lose my health care, then they're going to offer a COBRA plan that will allow me to keep my health care for a period of time. And so wrestlers don't get that. Independent contractors don't get that. And so you look even at Andrade's situation, his contract issues became public. Somebody leaked that he was fired for cause for failing some wellness event or some wellness policy. We don't know exactly the case on that. His contract issues became public. People begin whispering, like, is he happy? Is he not? Where is he going? Is he going back to AEW? But see, nobody sees the bigger picture. Why are wrestlers still negotiating contracts like it's 1987? Why aren't there collective bargaining rights? Why isn't there a standardized minimum for healthcare, travel, or post-care medical coverage? See, if I retired with my company, I would get some form of package. I would get Social Security. I would get, you know, I would get some benefit for being an employee of a company. But see, wrestlers are essentially human crash test dummies. They destroy their bodies for entertainment, yet they get no pension. They get no union health care. There's no protection when a company decides to future endeavor you. And look at a modern example. Look at Ridge Holland. He was part of the recent NXT and then all of the like other releases. He's still recovering from injuring himself in a TNA match. And when Ridge Holland went from the main roster to NXT, he took a pay cut. He doesn't get paid extra for working these TNA matches. And then he gets cut in the middle of his injury with no protection, no health care, no travel coverage, none of that, right? Now he has to figure out a way to make a living and pay for all of his injury care. Look, this isn't just about the big leagues like AEW and WWE, TNA, and all of them. Independent wrestlers are living gig to gig with promoters canceling shows last minute, bouncing checks because they can't afford to pay the talents, ghosting them on payments. If there was a unionized structure, it could set industry standards, starting from the lowest independent wrestling company to WWE. With minimum pay rates, mandatory medical coverage, safer working conditions, and even travel stipends as requirements for working with talent. And so I know there's this fear, though, about like when the word union gets brought up. And in many cases, I'm not a super fan of unions. I wish there was a way, and I wish that businesses cared much more about their employees than they really do, so that unions don't have to exist. But the problem, especially in the entertainment sector, is you have these large CEOs of large companies who only see performers as dollar signs and not as a human being. And so unions in some cases are necessary for these people to get proper treatment in their industry. And I know there's a fear, because every time unionization is brought up, old school wrestling fans, all the promoters, they'll say the same thing. A union will kill the business. promoters can't afford mandatory health care and this, that, and the other. It'll take away creative freedom. I mean, but let's just be real for a moment. I think that's utter nonsense. And the NBA didn't die out when players formed the NBA Players Association. Hollywood didn't crumble when actors formed SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild. The NFL didn't collapse when their players got health and pension plans through their Players Association. What actually happened? The industries grew. They became more professional. They became more sustainable. Talent was protected. Business thrived. So, like, if wrestlers had these union protections, it doesn't mean the companies lose. It means the companies gain stability. Right? There'd be less turnover. There may be more loyalty to a company if you provide healthcare and job security. Much more fewer exits, fewer contract disputes, fewer headaches to deal with these independent contractors. The quality of the performance would increase, would improve. A healthy wrestler is a better performer. Fewer injuries mean longer careers, fewer rush storylines, fewer replacements mid storyline. There'd be more transparency. A union brings standards, standardized paying tiers, standardized medical protocols, grievance processes. This creates trust not only with the public, but with your performers. And public image would improve. Let's be honest. The reputation of pro wrestling has taken its hits over the years. We've seen exploitation, early death, drugs, mental health struggles. A wrestlers association could fix that image, could fix that perception, showing fans the industry actually cares about the talent. See, imagine a world where fans don't have to hear about another legend dying young, broke, or addicted just to cope with pain of decades in the ring. I feel like we see it every day. Some legend who gave his body for the company has all these medical problems that, you know, they have to find a way to pay for themselves. But because of all these medical issues, they can't take care of themselves. They can't work another job. And so they're poor and addicted on drugs. And like, a union wouldn't kill the business. But here's another angle. If companies are scared of paying benefits or classifying wrestlers as full-time employees, that fear says more about their business model than it does about unionization. If a billion-dollar company cannot afford to provide healthcare to the people breaking their backs on live television every week, maybe the problem isn't a union. Maybe the problem is corporate greed. The idea that unionization means less creativity is completely false. The Screen Actors Guild didn't tell actors what roles to play. The NFL Players Association doesn't script games. A Performers Association wouldn't decide who goes over or what the finish is. It would just mean that you are protected when you take that bump. Unionization does not erase the soul of pro wrestling. It gives the people who built it a soul again. Because let's be honest, how many wrestlers have we seen burn out, lose their passion, or fade away because they were treated like a machine instead of an artist? A union wouldn't kill that fire. It would actually fuel it. Because when wrestlers know they're safe, secure, and respected, they can focus on what they love: storytelling, performance, and connecting with fans. See, wrestling has always evolved. Territories fell, TV robe, kayfabe died, social media was born. Every evolution has been painful but necessary. This is just the next evolution. Unionization will not end pro wrestling, but it will make pro wrestling a sustainable, professional, industry. It'll make it an ethical industry. It'll make it real behind the curtain. Because for an industry built on working the crowd, it's time the workers stopped getting worked themselves. So how do we fix this? How do we go from, it'll be nice to see a union in pro wrestling, to holy shit, a union is actually happening. I've created an action plan for how to do it. And look, I have no say in the business, but this is just my thoughts. You ready? Step one, create the Pro Wrestling Performance Association. This would be an independent wrestler-run organization, not tied to any one company, but built on the same model as the Screen Actors Guild or the NFLPA. It starts small. Meetings, leadership, dues, legal help. Wrestlers from all promotions can join. Step two, build cross-promotion unity. AEW, WWE, TNA, New Japan, all the indies, everyone. Different tiers, same principles, fair pay, safety, healthcare. Wrestling has always been divided by companies, but this could unite the workers together. Step three, we have to redefine what these wrestlers are. Right now, they're seen as independent contractors. They have all the restrictions of full-time employees, but none of the benefits. In any other industry, this is illegal. So what would the goal be? Reclassify wrestlers as full-time employees. That means providing benefits, workers' comp, and job protections to all pro wrestlers. Step four, you have to have a legal and structural backing. Bring in labor lawyers, bring in union reps from under other industries, learn from everybody else what has already worked in other industries. This could be done both legally and effectively. You can build a structure and a legal backing to your industry. And the last step is solidarity. Wrestlers have to speak up together. One person can be ignored. When Jesse Ventura stood up and nobody stood up with him, he was ignored. 10 people can stand up and be punished. But if 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 professional wrestlers step up and say, we need to unionize the industry, that cannot be ignored. That type of power cannot, you can't fire everyone or else you lose all the wrestlers. So if they stand up together, speak up together, have solidarity behind a safer work environment, safer, more protected wrestling scene, this can become a reality. So what would the future be? I mean, picture it. A world where a wrestler doesn't have to start a GoFundMe to pay for their surgery after they retire. Where retirement doesn't mean they live the rest of their life in poverty. Where you can heal your body and your mind without losing your spot in line. Imagine a pro wrestlers performers association that negotiates fair contracts, travel stipends, post-career benefits. A world where being a wrestler is a career and not just a hobby leading, not just a hobby with a countdown to injury after injury and your body officially just stops working. Imagine promoters still making money, shows still running, fans still cheering, but the people inside of the ring, the ones that give them those moments, will finally have the security, dignity, and peace that they deserve. A union would not ruin wrestling. It would honor wrestling. It would continue wrestling. It would benefit wrestling. So that we don't have to see these issues like we saw with Rey Fénix and Pentagon and now with Andrade and you know, people love to bring up the CM Punk stuff, the pipe bomb that he did, and the fact that they made him wrestle and he shit his pants on a SmackDown. But then we bring up a union and they cringe a little bit. Who's going to talk the talk and walk the walk? You know, people always say wrestling is about storytelling, right? Good versus evil, struggle, sacrifice, redemption. Maybe this is the story the business itself needs. A story where workers finally overcome the system. Ventura tried, Raven tried, Canyon tried. They planted the seeds. It's now time for this next generation to water them. Because the work in the ring may be scripted, but the pain felt isn't. And if you truly want wrestlers to wrestle for the love of the game, then it's time we love the wrestlers enough to protect them. Yesterday's monologue. All right, everybody. Thank you all for tuning into that monologue. Just some final thoughts before we turn the show off for this Saturday. It is AEW Wrestle Dream Day, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. On TNT. Starts the Tailgate Brawl. Remember, the Tailgate Brawl will be on TNT, but Zero Hour will be on YouTube. It's not the same thing. Just a final heads up there. Can't wait to see what happens tonight at Wrestle Dream. Make sure to tune in. If you have HBO Max, go ahead and buy it. You save $10 than if you were to buy it elsewhere. But it's bound to be a pretty good show. We will see you all next Thursday, and we'll break down the biggest wrestling talking points. Maybe we may ask Mr. Cody Marinara his thoughts on the Andrade situation just briefly there. And we move one step closer to Blood and Guts, which I'll be at live. I appreciate everybody listening into this podcast. Let me know what you think. Do you agree? Do you disagree with me? Let me know. Hit that like button, comment, share, subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review if you're listening to audio. I'm Drunkard James. This is Beyond the Junkyard Podcast. We will see you next Thursday with the live stream. Enjoy Wrestle Dream tonight, and we'll see you next week. Beyond the